This is VSiN's College Football Betting Podcast.
Welcome in another edition of the VSiN College Football Betting Podcast. It is Thanksgiving week. Lots of college football all over the schedule. I am Tim Murray, joined by Adam Burke. We are going to get to the updated Heisman odds here momentarily. Just a little bit of housekeeping, depending on when you are listening to this podcast. Matt Eumanns is enjoying himself in parts unknown. Well, I know where he is, but I don't know if he's told the world, but he will not be on the podcast this week picking games. Wes Reynolds is going to step in, and we're going to do a live version of the VSiN College Football Betting Podcast, breaking down week 13, 11 p.m. Eastern, 8 p.m. Pacific on VSiN tonight, Tuesday evening. So depending on when you're listening to this, it might have already happened. It'll be in your feed. But if you want to watch it live, me and Wes Reynolds will be breaking down all the games then. All right. Housekeeping out of the way. Rate, review, and subscribe. You know the drill. Adam Burke is in the house. And Adam, we have a handy dandy little button to push here. So before I even introduce you, let's fire away with our cool sound effect.
Heisman Watch.
Yeah, a little Heisman Watch. What's up, Adam? How are you, brother?
I'm good, man. Also, if people miss the live version or miss the podcast, it'll be shown, I believe, throughout the day on Thursday with the Thanksgiving holidays. So, you know, you get tired of your family, or, you know, you get a soft tissue injury during the family football game. You can check out the College Football Podcast wherever you consume and watch your VSiN content.
Yes, sir. Should be a fun week. A lot of games, a lot of situational spots. I have compiled a list of all of the 5 and 6 teams trying to get the bowl eligibility, but we got to come through on the cool sounder there. It is Heisman Watch. And Adam, before we get into the odds, is it fair to say it is now a 2-man race, Bo Nix versus Jaden Daniels, or do you believe that Michael Penix Jr., whose odds have dropped quite considerably down to plus 650 at DraftKings as we record this, he still has a chance to get back in this with a win over Oregon in the Pac-12 championship?
Well, I mean, look, Michael Penix leads the nation in passing yards, and if he beats Oregon for a second time, I mean, to me, it's pretty realistic, right? I mean, he doesn't have the same numbers that Jaden Daniels has, but can you imagine the voters looking at an undefeated Power 5 team out of a conference that's been as solid as the Pac-12 has been this year and not going with their quarterback who's got pretty damn good numbers?
It would be surprising, and I want to get into this, and this is, I don't want this to come off as complaining, because you and I have a Bo Nix ticket, and I think we've been pretty consistent on this, where I believe if this was voted on accurately and this truly depicted the MVP of college football, I think Jaden Daniels would be the runaway winner. But the thing that surprised you and me, and I think many others, including our colleague who also has a Bo Nix ticket, Femi Abebefe, is why did the market drastically shift from last week to this week? So at this moment in time, we're recording this on Monday night, Bo Nix at Circa Sports, which has a two-way market, yes, plus 125, no, minus 155. Jaden Daniels, yes, minus 135, no, plus 105. At DraftKings, Nix plus 140, Daniels minus 120. The reason I bring that up and what we're kind of confused about is last week, Bo Nix was the favorite over Jaden Daniels. Jaden Daniels last week had over 600 total yards of offense against an SEC team in Florida, had real game pressure with the game being a 3-point game in the fourth quarter. He was not the favorite after that, but then they both play games this weekend. Bo Nix with something to play for, put up 6 touchdowns, 400-plus passing yards in a half, essentially. And Jaden Daniels scored 8 total touchdowns, 6 passing, 2 rushing against a mediocre Sun Belt team where they were, I forget how big of a favorite. I don't understand the drastic change, because to me, the more impressive feat in the last 2 weeks was what he did against Florida, a team that showed a pulse on the road at Missouri and really had a pretty darn good chance to win that game. Thankfully, they covered. Explain to me the market right now, because I don't understand why Jaden Daniels would become the odds-on favorite after a performance that we all really anticipated against a Sun Belt team on a, you know, sleepy Saturday night in Baton Rouge.
Yeah, that's the part that I can't figure out. And as you said, you and I have been pretty consistent about this on this show, that if this award truly went to the best player in college football this season, Jaden Daniels would be an even bigger favorite. But his team's lost three games, and this is not just an individual award. It becomes a team award. For better or worse, that's how it's viewed. And Daniels, like, all of a sudden people are like, oh, wow, look at this guy's numbers. They're great. His numbers have been great all year long. Like, what he did against Georgia State, I mean, it's what he should do against Georgia State with the season that he's having. The other question that I have here, so Bo Nix had a touchdown taken off the board on the first drive of the second half. There was a very ticky-tack offensive pass interference call that took a touchdown off the board. Lanning had Nix out there to try and get to seven. You know, he tied the record for Oregon with most passing touchdowns in a game. Wanted to get him seven. Wanted to get him the sole record. And touchdown gets taken off the board. Then he gets sacked on third down, and Dan Lanning goes, to hell with this. Like, I'm not even taking a chance here. Also, I mean, he's good buddies with Kenny Dillingham. That was the offensive coordinator last year. He's not going to run it up on him. If Nix gets that seventh touchdown pass, if that's not taken off the board, he may be the favorite anyway right now. And that is just so arbitrary. It's so ridiculous. Again, not to take anything away from Daniels. Phenomenal season. Deserves to win the Heisman. So this isn't our bias or anything like that. This is just, like you said, I mean, okay, Georgia State, cool. If Nix stays in that game, he may have nine touchdown passes or more. So don't get it.
Yeah, I don't either. And I do think the market is, you know, this is a voted on award with 800 plus folks voting all across the country. So we don't really know. The straw poll, unlike Tim Bontemps' straw poll for the NBA MVP, you know, 33 people vote on it on The Athletic, who all are Heisman voters. That is, I mean, I can't do the math off the top of my head, but that's what, 3% of the voting, you know, what to expect. I don't know how you dock Bo Nix for going 24 of 29 for 400 plus yards, six touchdowns, and like you said, essentially a half of football. But I'll say this, and Matt Brown was hosting today with me on VSiN Primetime. And Matt Brown, by the way, is a LSU alum. And he said he would bet Bo Nix right now. And I think for those listening and wondering, okay, do we take the no on Bo Nix? I wouldn't yet. Honestly, I think the way I'm going to go about it is if I want to hedge off of it, I'm just going to take the money line on Washington in the Pac-12 championship game. Because I think if they lose that game, I think he's out. Bo Nix, that is. And if they win that game, I think he's got a really good chance to win this Heisman Trophy. So looking at the numbers right now, Jaden Daniels and Bo Nix's passing numbers are almost identical. It's pretty wacky how close these are. So Bo Nix is thrown for 3,539 yards, 35 touchdowns, 2 picks. Jaden Daniels is thrown for 3,577 yards, 36 touchdowns, 4 interceptions. So very, very close. Passer rating, Jaden Daniels is 1, 208.3. Bo Nix is 2, 191.3. Bo Nix is completing 78.1% of his passes. Obviously, the big differentiator is Jaden Daniels uses his legs. He's phenomenal, and he's a dual-threat quarterback with 1,000 rushing yards and 10 touchdowns already this year. But this is something Matt Brown brought up, because I felt like the pushback on social media, because a couple of Bo Nix's touchdowns were long catch and runs. Jaden Daniels actually has been aided by more yards after catch than Bo Nix. 7.4 yards after catch for Jaden Daniels, 7.2 yards after catch for Bo Nix. So I think there's this bizarre kind of feeling out there from a lot of folks that Bo Nix is just this system quarterback and you plug in anybody and, you know, anyone can do what he's doing. And Jaden Daniels is doing it all by himself. I mean, Malik Nabers is a first round pick. He's an absolute superstar wide receiver for Jaden Daniels. And this isn't to diminish Jaden Daniels. It's almost to help show that Bo Nix, yeah, he's in a quarterback friendly system, but yards after catch, Jaden Daniels has actually slightly been aided by more. Now, as Matt Brown did point out, the depth of target is deeper for Jaden Daniels, 8.7 to 6.04. So he is throwing the ball a little bit further down the field, but I think passing yardage is, you know, pretty much the same. And let's just look at the schedule and why I feel okay about Bo Nix. They're a 14-point favorite this weekend at home against Oregon State, 8:30 on Fox Friday night. Jaden Daniels game, noon on Saturday. Hey, Adam, you're an Ohio State guy. Is there a football game noon on Saturday?
I believe so, yes.
Okay. Probably the most watched regular season game of the entire year?
Probably by a decent margin, too.
So the majority of the country won't be watching a Texas A&M team that has fired their coach and owes him $77 million and Jaden Daniels?
Probably not.
Okay, I just was curious. And then, look.
You know where else they won't see Jaden Daniels? Conference championship weekend.
Yep, and I love the time slot for Oregon. Friday night, 8 o'clock Eastern. I don't know if it's Fox or ESPN, but regardless, 8 o'clock Eastern on Friday night. So, Jaden Daniels, like, yeah, it circles back to this. If it's voted on accurately, I think Jaden Daniels wins this award because he is the most valuable player, the most electric, exciting player. But everyone talks about Heisman moment. What's Jaden Daniels' Heisman moment? And have one. Bo Nix has a chance to beat Washington on Pac-12 championship weekend to get into the playoff. So we'll see how it all plays out.
And keep in mind, too, I mean, that would be beating the third favorite to win the Heisman Trophy to get your team into the college football playoff and beat an undefeated Washington team. And that's why, like, I honestly don't care. Like, if Bo Nix wins out, Bo Nix is winning the award. So that's why I'm not getting bent about, you know, the fact that Jaden Daniels is the favorite and all of that. What bothers me is you talk about needing a Heisman moment. Apparently his was scoring 8 touchdowns against a Sun Belt team because
not even a good one.
Like, again, the guy was having a monster year before that. And now all of a sudden you get this narrative from these blowhards out there that cover the sport that are like, oh yeah, this guy's having a great season. Well, no shit. He's had a great season all year. That's the thing that kind of bothers me and rubs me the wrong way. So whatever, just keep winning, Bo. He's probably going to have 6-7 touchdown passes the next 2 weeks if Oregon's going to win both of these games. So that's plenty good enough for me. I think it's enough to take it down. But again, he's got to, you know, avoid disaster in the Civil War or whatever the hell they call it now. And then, you know, beat Washington here in Vegas.
Look, regardless, I'm happy with the bet that we made. You know, we read it correctly with all the big time games, a really buy low spot after they lost to Washington. And we could have got Jaden Daniels at the same price. And I thought Jaden Daniels, after the loss to Alabama, would kind of go quietly into the night. Not the case, because he's an awesome football player. And he's probably going to put up big numbers against a lifeless Texas A&M team on Saturday. But, you know, high-profile games here for Bo Nix to open up the eyes of a lot of people. Let's wrap.
Are you going to take J.J. McCarthy at 300-1?
No, I'm going to pass on that one.
Remember when he was favored?
Yeah.
I'm just going to drop that all the time. Remember when he was the favorite?
Remember when two people at The Athletic voted for him to win the Heisman Trophy in the straw poll? So Michael Penix plus 650. You know, maybe not a terrible bet. If you think, I mean, he didn't light up the world, obviously, against Oregon State, only 100-some-odd passing yards in the pouring rain in Corvallis. But Marvin Harrison was getting this big, big push, right? He's now down to 40-1 after a 330-1 performance against Minnesota. if he goes off against Michigan, which I don't think he will, but if he does, is 40-1 viable here, or is he had too many of the 330 performances? Because he had 3 for 32 against Notre Dame, 3 for 30 against Minnesota. Is Marvin Harrison now too far back in your eyes?
Well, what's the definition of going off? Like, are we talking 203 touchdowns, something like that?
Yeah. Because
at that point,
I think he has to.
Sure, maybe. But that's about the only kind of number I think.
I would,
and look, I mean, the reality of it is, if he's the best player on the field like he should be, then Ohio State should win that game. But I think he's got to have an absurd, like Devontae Smith. What did he have the 1 year? Like 13 catches for 206?
Yeah.
In either the SEC championship or a playoff game or something like that. Like, yeah, it's got to be a sick number.
Yeah, in the SEC championship, Devontae Smith, I'm looking up now, I think it was 13 catches for 258 yards or something like that.
Yeah, it was some absurd number.
And he won the Heisman Trophy.
Yeah.
So,
because he had a Heisman moment.
Yeah.
Jaden Daniels won't get that chance.
I know. And look, that's the biggest thing. And I think our listeners know this, but we're not crapping on Jaden Daniels. He's awesome. He's the best college football player right now. But we bet this based off of the history of voting on this award. And what's working against Jaden Daniels is that there's actually quarterbacks in Penix and Nix that are up there with the same numbers, especially passing wise, not rushing, that are both going to go to the playoff if they win their championship game. I mean, Jaden Daniels honestly needs to be the biggest Oregon State fan. He needs Oregon State to beat Oregon, and then Oregon State, I don't know, I think they might be eliminated, but have Arizona beat Washington. So he needs a little chaos, I think. But
irrelevant question. Has Jaden Daniels become a top 10 pick?
He should
in the
be
NFL
man.
Draft.
I'd want him on my team. He's big, he's athletic. He's not, you know, Kyler Murray, Bryce Young stature, who by the way both went first overall. He's 6'4".
Mm-hmm.
Like I think he is absolutely, you know, going to be a top 15 type of pick.
I think so too. Yeah, I was just looking it up. I looked at one mock draft. They had him 14th to the Raiders, which would be fascinating. But yeah, I mean, I think he's one of those guys that's going to get some serious buzz, like combine related.
Totally agree. And you're just going to see his highlights and the way the game is played nowadays. So yeah, we will see. But I'm sure he'll put up big numbers this week against Texas A&M. And we need our guy Bodacious to take care of business. And
you think so? I mean, Texas A&M's not good, but they are 16th in the country in yards per play allowed. Like, that's a pretty legit defense still.
Yeah, I mean, I think they'll do everything in their power to try to light him up. But we just need our guy Bo to do his thing, keep on cruising. Primetime game this week, primetime game next week. And I like where we sit, 30-1. All right, we're going to take a quick break. And when we come back on the other side, I have compiled a list of all the 5-win football teams, which of them are intriguing to back this week. And I have also, Adam, I know you do the situational spot article on vsin.com. I have not looked at it yet because I have a spot that I think is incredibly, incredibly appealing. And I'm curious if you agree with it. Come on back after this break. It's the VSiN College Football Betting Podcast.
Sports Betting Innovative Analytics has taken the guesswork and emotion out of sports betting to bring you an innovative and trustworthy resource to enhance your journey to becoming a winning player. With industry-leading money-back guarantee options backed by their sophisticated modeling, they want to introduce you to a system that's not widely seen or available to help you beat the bookmaker. Specializing in NBA, college basketball, and WNBA, your first week is always free. Get started at SBIA1.com today.
All right, we're back. Hey, I don't have a read in front of me, but I'm going to do it on the fly here, Adam, because everyone loves shopping. Black Friday. How about the deal we're running right now at VSiN? $60, vsin.com/subscribe. Everything we have to offer all the way through May 1st, $60. Talk about a Black Friday deal. Not too shabby.
Not too shabby at all. We got a college football bowl guide coming out, a free bowl guide with some strategy. We'll have a free Super Bowl guide, but then also our premium Super Bowl guide for subscribers. Tim, I hate to talk about this already, but baseball season will be here before we know it. So I'll have my MLB betting guide, our March Madness betting guide. All of that is included in that holiday offer that we have, not to mention everything we do on a daily and weekly basis over at vsin.com. Plus, next month, a website redesign will be deployed, and it will be a much better user experience for you. So now's the time. Strike while the iron's hot over at vsin.com/subscribe.
$60, man. That is quite the deal. All right, situational spots. I'm a situational handicapper and love finding the spots. Last week, we were able to find a really good spot with Army against Coastal Carolina. Army's final home game, Coastal Carolina really had nothing to play for. Grayson McCall was out. Army goes out and wins that game, and I believe they closed like a 1-point underdog. So we were able to bring that one home. Before we get to bowl motivation, like I said, I didn't want to peek at it because I wanted to see if we were aligning on this. I think I've found the best situational spot of the weekend, and maybe one of the best of the years.
Okay. All right.
Jacksonville State is traveling to New Mexico State. New Mexico State, ladies and gentlemen, last weekend went to the Plains and beat Auburn 31-10. Next week, Jerry Kill's squad gets an opportunity to win Conference USA in year one for the Aggies. This week, they have a completely meaningless game because they don't have a shot at making the New Year's Six. They have a conference championship next weekend, and the team that they are facing is not guaranteed a bowl. That would be the Jacksonville State Gamecocks, led by Rich Rodriguez. They are in year two of transition to the FBS. They don't know if they're locked up a bowl, so this is, in theory, could be their Super Bowl. Jacksonville State's catching 2.5 at Circa right now. I think this is a phenomenal spot for Jacksonville State and for New Mexico State. What do they have to play for? Honestly, Jerry Kill shouldn't start any starters in this game. There is no reason to play anybody of importance in this game because they have the conference championship game next week.
Yeah, and I think it's a really, really good point to make. And honestly, I think there's some equity in going out here and grabbing Jacksonville State now because I actually saw this. I didn't really know that this was a thing, but when I was looking at New Mexico State and Auburn, which, by the way, I had one of my biggest power ratings overlays of the season last week on that game. I had New Mexico State like plus 14. They were like plus 25.5. And New Mexico State, of course, wins outright. But I did see that one of the Auburn sites was reporting that Diego Pavia was pretty banged up, and there was a chance that he wasn't going to be able to go in that game. If that's the case, if he is actually, I mean, everyone's less than 100% at this time of the year, but if he's actually dealing with something, he ain't playing in this game. So I don't know what the drop-off is to the backup. I have no idea who the hell the backup is, but I would assume it's probably over a touchdown or more towards the point spread, and I would be very surprised, I think, if Pavia is actually dealing with something, that he actually plays in this game, because as you said, there's really no reason for him to.
Yeah. I mean, and for Jacksonville State, they're 8-3. And in theory, with a win, they would finish second in the conference, but they're not eligible for a conference championship game. So Jerry Kill's a very good coach. He's no dummy. And there's no reason to play anybody of importance in this game. So I think the Gamecocks are a great bet this week, and I've taken the 2.5. I took the money line. I am in on the Gamecocks situationally here. There are 67 bowl eligible teams, 82 spots available. Jacksonville State and James Madison have surpassed the threshold, so they would get into a bowl game if there aren't 82 6-6 or better teams. So looking at the list that is I compiled and I tweeted it out at one Tim Murray, we could kind of go through it. We don't have to hit on every game. And as I alluded to, Obviously, not every game is going to be an auto bet, but I think they're all kind of worth talking about. So let's run through it here, Adam. Tuesday night, you're the Maction expert. Eastern Michigan, the factory, is catching 6. This line is on the move a little bit. The Eagles, 5-6 at Buffalo. A dog here. Good spot to back a team trying to get the bowl eligibility?
I think so. I mean, Buffalo is not very good. I'm honestly surprised to some degree that the line is this high, although from a power rating standpoint, I do have it Buffalo -8. So I'm actually a little bit higher than the market. But something else I think to think about here in this game is the weather is going to be awful. 35-mile-per-hour wind gusts, rain, wet field throughout the day. If you're Buffalo and you're not playing for anything, you might be out there going, what are we doing here? Whereas for Eastern Michigan, you're just going to deal with it. You know, and I think Chris Creighton's a pretty good head coach as well. So if nothing else, I like Eastern Michigan getting a 6.5-point head start in a game with a total of 35.
Yeah, a little Maction for Tuesday night. Thanksgiving night, this is a game I probably won't be betting. Maybe Mississippi State's just playing for pride. Obviously, they've already fired their head coach. This is an 11.5-point spread. Mississippi State also 5-6. They are at home for an arch rivalry game. It would be dog or pass, but I don't know how motivated. I think they're more motivated to beat Mississippi than to get the bowl eligibility.
Yeah, and look, I mean, it's going to be a tough weekend down in Stark Vegas because this was, you know, last year Mike Leach beat Ole Miss, and then, of course, you know, 3 weeks later, tragically passed away. So I'm sure there'll be some sort of ceremony honoring him. You know, they do have an interim head coach in Greg Knox where they already fired Zach Arnett. But the one thing that I think is kind of a challenging part of this handicap is Will Rogers came back last week for Mississippi State in that win over Southern Miss, but he was not good. I mean, their offense was awful without him. He wasn't very good last week. They scored 41 points, but it was pretty misleading. It was he able to knock off enough rust to now come back on a short week and play well against Ole Miss, who's in a revenge spot. I don't know if that's the case. I would honestly lean towards the Rebels side of things, but you know, again, you got the bowl eligibility carrot there for the Bulldogs.
All right, let's get to Friday. I have bet this game. It is Nebraska hosting Iowa. The total continues to plummet here. A little trivia for you. Do you know the last time Nebraska made a bowl game?
Ooh, I do. I actually put this in my situational article. 2016 Music City Bowl.
Just a reminder, folks, it's 2023. Nebraska, who when I was growing up, I used to cheer against because I thought, is this team ever going to lose? Well, they don't lose a lot. They're 5-6. They're not a very good football team. Producer Britton Hess, my producer on VSiN Primetime, is a Nebraska alum. He was mildly encouraged by Chuba Purdy, the quarterback that has been thrust into action. What's Iowa playing for? Pride, I guess, against a rival? They're playing either Ohio State or Michigan next week. That's locked up. Nebraska's playing for bowl eligibility. I'm on the corn here. I took them at pick. Get the cheapest money line out there. I like Nebraska in this spot.
Yeah, I mean, this is, look, the line's kind of told a story the last few weeks, really, with Iowa, where, I mean, obviously this week they're not playing for anything, so it does make sense for some Nebraska money to come in. But, I mean, the last few weeks, what, the line against Illinois was really close. The line against Rutgers, they were, you know, they're pick 'em or something like that early on in the week. You know, the ugly win over Northwestern. I mean, the market's telling you a lot here with the opening numbers of Iowa and how this team won the Big Ten West, but they are not rated as a high team in the market at all.
Another one. So it is important to kind of recognize teams that are going to be playing for a championship. So we've already alluded to the situational spot with New Mexico State. They're playing in the CUSA title next week. Iowa playing in the Big Ten title next week. Toledo playing in the MAC championship next week against Miami of Ohio. That is already locked up. Last week, Toledo came back and beat rival Bowling Green 32-31. But let's look at last season. Now, it's a little bit different because I guess there's an outside shot Toledo could be live for a New Year's Six. If things go nuts. But last year, a 4-7 Western Michigan team beat Toledo in the final game of the regular season because Toledo was playing in the conference championship the following week. Here this week, you've got a Central Michigan team at home catching 10.5. Similar situation. Toledo playing Miami next week for a conference championship game. Now, once again, I guess the possibility is out there that they are going to be vying for a New Year's Six Bowl. Maybe we'll wait to bet this until we see the rankings revealed on Tuesday night. But I think you got to go dog here in a spot where Central Michigan trying to get the bowl eligibility and Toledo should rest their starters to play for a conference championship next week.
Yeah, I agree with that. And also here for Central Michigan, they, for whatever it's worth, they've played a lot better at home. Now, some of that has to do with the teams that they've played. Oddly enough, too, their one win on the road is at South Alabama, which is still one of the more head-scratching results of the season. But, yeah, I mean, Toledo, look, if there was more chaos in the AAC, I think Toledo would be in better shot for the New Year's Six Bowl. Also, their conference is pathetic, and everybody knows it. So, yeah, I mean, if I'm Central Michigan, I'm kind of expecting to maybe not see Daquan Finn. Also, for Toledo, I don't know if this really matters, but Jason Candle did not deny talking to Michigan State when he was asked about it here today. So, you know, keep that in mind, too. We got these coaches on some of these really good group of five schools. You know, they may be kind of fielding some interest in other places. And, you know, for Toledo having a game that doesn't really mean anything this week, maybe everybody's not super buttoned up.
For what it's worth, I think that would be a terrible hire.
Completely. That'd be a really bad hire.
Jason Candle, in my opinion, is not that good of a coach.
No, I agree with you.
He has the best stuff in the MAC at Toledo. They lose. Yep. I mean, look at the history. I mean, they lose a lot as a favorite. It is, I'm not a big Jason Candle guy, and there are plenty of people out there. Last one on Friday. Look, I have a Utah State under, so I might take some Utah State money line to try to get off my position there. I wrote it up for the guide under 5.5. It helped that they got their doors blown off last week by Boise State. Utah State laying 7 against New Mexico, who beat Fresno State last week. So maybe the Lobos can help me out here. But no play for me. I don't really want to lay 7 with Utah State. Any interest there for you with a 5-6 Utah State team?
No, absolutely not. Especially because both Cooper Legault and McKay Hillstrand left that game hurt last week. So I don't know if either one of them would have been able to come back if the game was closer. But, I mean, they had a million turnovers in that game. They played awful. And, you know, you were right. I mean, you know, I talked about liking Utah State last week, wrote it up on the website. But, you know, you mentioned to me when I caught up with you, I think it was on Tuesday, where you said Tuesday or Wednesday, whatever day it was, where you said, hey, you know, one of the people that I talked to who's around the Boise State program said he expects him to be really, really fired up without Andy Avalos as the head coach. Seemed like it was pretty toxic there in Boise. So they definitely played very, very well. And obviously they have a ton to play for this week.
Can we just mention one of the worst beats that is brewing out there on a win total? I don't have it. Actually, when I wrote up Air Force for the guide, I actually, because we have to put in the guide, a suggestion on the win total, not that we're betting it necessarily, but I suggested go under on Air Force. And boy, I look like a dummy for a while because they started 8-0. And I do know a couple people who have Air Force over 8.5 wins. Ladies and gentlemen, they are now 8-3. After dropping two straight games as double-digit favorites against Army and at Hawaii. Last week, they were laying 3 against UNLV. They blew a lead there. And now they're catching 6.5 at Boise State. If you have Air Force over 8.5, that is got to be disgusting because it doesn't look like it's going to come home. By the way, Boise State, if they win on Saturday as a 6.5-point favorite, they will be headed to the Mountain West Championship game.
Yeah, so, you know who has Air Force over 8.5?
Not you.
That'd be me.
Oh, no.
Yep. I mean, I had Air Force pretty high over that number, to be honest with you, when I put together my power ratings coming into the season. So, yeah, not great.
Oh, well. For your sake, I hope Boise State, or I hope Air Force flounders on Saturday.
Yeah, Boise State's probably going to kill him, to be honest with you. But, you know, it's a chance you take, right?
So it was a good bet. I mean, yeah. Who's to say that, you know, they lose as a massive favorite, 20-plus points on the island. All right, we'll run through the Saturday ones multiple at a time and lump them together. We'll do the ACC, Virginia Tech -2.5 at Virginia, Syracuse -2.5 at Wake. No thanks on Syracuse. They fired Dino Babers, so I think that team might be ready for the season to end. I might actually look to bet Wake Forest in that spot. That number is out to 3 now as I look at the updated number. Virginia Tech out to 3 as well. I would look Hokies there, but it is a rivalry game, so I'm probably not going to get involved. Any interest from the two ACC teams that are 5-6?
Kind of interested in Virginia Tech. Virginia's been through a lot as a program over the last calendar year.
Big win over Duke.
Big win last week. Yeah, I have that game line to pick them. So I don't know. I think Virginia Tech, and that's the thing too. I mean, I'm barely looking at my numbers here this week because there's so many other things that are kind of factors in these games. But I would be pretty surprised if Virginia's got anything left in the emotional gas tank for that one.
Yeah, and Virginia Tech, I think, has been pretty motivated. Brent Pry, second-year coach, they would love to get to a bowl game, his first one there for sure. So, yeah, I would be Hokies or pass. No thanks on Syracuse, even though the market's headed that way. Three games in the Big 12 with 5-6 teams. TCU +11 at Oklahoma. BYU, who showed life last week, and maybe that was what they had left in the gas tank. They are at Oklahoma State. And then UCF is a massive favorite against Houston. I do expect Central Florida to win, but I'm not going to lay 13.5. Three Big 12 teams, TCU and BYU, excuse me, pretty big dogs. TCU down to 10. BYU is down to 17 or so. Any interest in the Big 12?
Nope. I will say I got a pretty decent power ratings overlay on Houston in that game against UCF, but clearly I've had Houston wrong throughout the course of the season from rating them. I have UCF -7 in that game, but Houston looked really, really bad last week. So, nope, nothing for me on those three.
All right, Big Ten, two teams that are 5-6. Illinois, ILL at home against Northwestern. Might be a letdown spot for Northwestern as they get the bowl eligibility last week, one of my best bets of the week. Northwestern coming home, the Purple Cats, David Braun, dude deserves National Coach of the Year considerations.
Barry Odom should win that, by the way.
There's a lot of coaches. You know who won't win it? Kirk Cignetti. Lose as a double-digit favorite. Thanks for blowing up my money line. Parlay, James Madison. Illinois laying 6 against Northwestern. Northwestern getting the bowl eligibility last week. Minnesota this week has Wisconsin. They're catching 2 at home. The Gophers are 5-6. Two Big Ten teams. Any interest?
I'd probably be interested in both of the teams going for bowl eligibility. I don't think Wisconsin's any good at all. I don't think Minnesota's any good either. But, you know, PJ Fleck, I think this feels like, I know it's kind of sacrilegious to sort of say this as such an analytics-driven guy, but doesn't this feel like the kind of game PJ Fleck wins? Just kind of looking throughout his coaching career, feels like the kind of game that he wins. Not interested in laying that Illinois number.
Nope.
I know that, but feels like the kind of game PJ Fleck wins, even though I don't think Minnesota's any good at all, and I'd fade them in whatever bowl game they got to.
Two Pac-12 teams sitting in situations. Cal +9.5 at UCLA. This is the Pac-12 after dark game, and then how about Washington showing life last week? Put up how many points in the first half against Colorado? Just imagine if they did that, I don't know, against Stanford instead of losing 10-7. What a wacky year for Washington State. Maybe too little too late for them as they take on Washington. I do think you're going to get a pretty good effort from the Cougs. Not bowl eligibility-wise, but I would look a little bit towards the dog there for Washington State against Washington. It won't be the last Apple Cup. It was good to see that those two teams agreed to continue the rivalry. So some sanity has come there. Cal actually interests me a little bit. I think this is a letdown spot for UCLA. You just crushed USC. You really have nothing to play for. Chip Kelly may or may not get fired. I think Cal might be a play for me, catching 9.5.
God, how bad did USC look last week?
Terrible.
I really liked that bet.
I thought about betting them, and I am so happy I did not.
Yeah, I laid the 6.5. I thought, okay, it's been a really long year for Caleb Williams. Like, there's got to be some measure of pride in that locker room, and apparently not. Sucks to see Caleb Williams go out that way, but you know he's obviously going to get good money going to the NFL. UCLA, I don't know what to do with them because, I mean, their defense is still pretty good, and now you wonder, did Chip Kelly save his job with that performance? Where is that locker room kind of at? I don't know. So I won't touch either one of those.
Yeah. Yeah, I might do a little digging on the Cal situation. I bet against them last week, and now after two straight wins, they got a chance to get to a bowl game. Nobody's going to be at the Rose Bowl on Saturday night, so I might look at Cal. It's always good to have action on the last game of the week.
It's basketball season at UCLA now.
Yeah, as we're recording this, they're playing Marquette. I have no idea what the score is. So, two SEC teams, Florida, who will be playing without Graham Mertz, who looked like, I don't know if it's official yet, but looked like he broke his collarbone, against Missouri. And then South Carolina against Clemson. South Carolina beat Clemson last year, and it feels like old Tyler, the plant, has rallied the folks at Clemson, man. They covered last week against UNC, all started with a domination of Notre Dame. Since Tyler called into the Dabo show, they're 3-0 and 3-0 ATS. So I'm not looking to get in front of Clemson right now, especially in a revenge spot for the Tigers against South Carolina. Florida intrigues me a little bit. No Jordan Travis, obviously. What a gruesome, awful injury. I feel so awful for him and for Florida State fans. At the Swamp, Florida, Sunbelt Billy got me the cover last week. Didn't get the win. You know, the backup quarterback who came in for Graham Mertz, what was it, Brown? I thought he was pretty decent. You know, it's got some mobility there. So I think Florida could be feisty. Maybe we get a 7 there, but I could be interested in the dog in that spot.
I don't want to go too long with this, but pretty simple question. If Florida State does beat Florida and Louisville, do they still get in the playoff without Jordan Travis?
Yeah, they do. I think you can't set a precedent of an undefeated Power 5 school. And by the way, if they beat Louisville, like, I've heard, and this isn't a knock to you, I've heard a lot of people say this. We do have to realize, even though nobody thinks it, Louisville is a top 10 team. Like, they're, in my eyes, they're not, but in the committee's eyes, they are. So if Florida State, with a backup quarterback, beats a top 10 team on a neutral field, yeah, they're in.
Yeah, I that would have been my answer too, but I'm just curious because...
Now, if they lose, obviously they're out.
Right, 100%. Yeah, it's just... It's going to be a tough sell because they'd be the number 4 team and they'd play Georgia and it could get very ugly. So
I would agree.
That's the only thing that, you know, I know the committee is going to talk about it because, I mean, yeah, you don't want to hold it against Florida State that Jordan Travis got hurt. And what's sick is it happened against North Alabama in a game that really didn't matter at all. But like the committee is going to look at this and they're going to go, this game's going to be over at halftime. Like, do we really want this to be one of our semifinal games? And yeah, Florida State fans will travel to the Sugar Bowl, but I don't know. I guess it would be kind of a tough spot for them. But the South Carolina thing, I hate myself for saying this. My wife is from the Columbia area. I've adopted South Carolina as my second team. I love Williams-Brice. I still like Shane Beamer, even though a lot of people don't. I would probably lay it with Clemson there. Clemson, you know, look, early in the season, I mean, turnovers killed them. Very inopportune turnovers killed them. They turned the ball over in the red zone. They'd fumble it through the end zone. They did all kinds of stupid stuff early on in the season. And as much as I think Dabo Swinney is a gigantic dickhead, Clemson gets revenge here, I think. I hate Dabo. I'm going to hate watching the clips of his press conference, but Clemson's probably going to lay it on South Carolina, whose defense is awful, and their offense is just Spencer Rattler throwing it up to Xavier Leggett and hoping he's there to catch it.
All right, to the AAC, we got three teams. Navy is 5-5. From my understanding, if they lose this game, they're pretty much out because the Army-Navy game takes place after the bowl games are announced. They play SMU, where they're, I believe, a 20-point underdog in that spot. Maybe Navy is feisty, but SMU's got a lot to play for. New Year's Six opportunity, so no thanks on that one. South Florida, they could put up some points. They're a 6-point favorite, 5.5 you can find against Charlotte. That's a first year of the goalish era, so certainly I would think motivation is definitely there for the Bulls. And then Rice is also 5-7, or 5-6, I should say, and they're a 5-point favorite against Florida Atlantic. Three AAC teams, any interest?
Yeah, there are some, definitely. I mean, Rice hasn't made a – they went to a bowl game last year, but they haven't won one since 2014.
They were 5-7 last year, too.
Yeah, they were – that's right. They were an APR team who got in. So they got in, but, I mean, they haven't won a bowl game in almost a decade. So, you know, they're certainly going to be highly, highly motivated. Kind of like them a little bit, but they've had, you know, some injuries to the quarterback position, some questions. I think South Florida wins. Do they cover? I don't know. Biff Poggi seems way more concerned with backing his old friend Jim Harbaugh than he does about the state of his own team. So I kind of like South Florida there to at least win. I think if you're looking at, you know, money line parlay situations, something like that, I think South Florida is definitely worth adding to one of those. Do they cover six? I don't know. Their defense is pretty bad, but Byron Brown, keep an eye on him in the transfer portal, because some Power Five team is going to offer that dude a pretty nice NIL bag. And I think he's probably very likely to go. And that's a dual threat type of dude that he could put up some big numbers if he gets the right situation next year. So if you're paying attention to that game, keep an eye on him. And I do think South Florida wins, but I wouldn't be in a rush to lay the six.
We'll combine the MAC and the Mountain West here. Northern Illinois minus 18.5 at Kent. The Huskies are 5-6. Colorado State, they surpassed their win total. Thank you very much, Rams. Nice cash there. Colorado State on the island of Hawaii, and they're laying 6 to get the bowl eligibility. Colorado State, Northern Illinois, any interest?
Yeah, kind of interested in Colorado State here for sure, laying 6 out on the island, as you mentioned. They haven't won a bowl game since 2013, last bowl appearance 2017, the New Mexico Bowl. So, you know, look, I think something else for Colorado State that's tough is Braden Faller-Nicolosi, their quarterback. He's a Texas high school kid, and he's playing in the Mountain West, and they've played some really bad weather games here lately. Won't have to worry about that out on the island. So I like Colorado State. That's one of my favorite plays of the week from a situational spot, and also thinking that, you know, I mean, Hawaii's kind of outperformed a little bit over the last few weeks. For Northern Illinois, they're going to win because they're playing Kent State. They haven't won a bowl game since 2012, by the way. So they'll win, but that's a sizable number to lay because Kent State is so bad.
All right, finally, three Sun Belt teams are at 5-6. Old Dominion, Ricky Ronnie, remember, he took over a pretty weird situation when he went to Old Dominion. His first year, they didn't play football. I believe they were, them and UConn were the only teams that did not play a game during the COVID season. They did make a bowl his second year. They made the Myrtle Beach Bowl. They went 3-9 last year, and now the Monarchs are sitting at 5-6, and they're taking on the team that just got Jaden Daniels the Heisman, Georgia State. They're laying 2.5 in that spot. Marshall is laying 2.5 against Arkansas State. How about Arkansas State? What a turnaround. Butch Jones. He was crying on the sideline when they lost 73-0 week one to Oklahoma. And last week, they put up 77 points against Texas State to get to bowl eligibility. What a crazy, crazy turnaround there for the Red Wolves. But, you know, maybe this is a spot to back the Thundering Herd after Arkansas State put up a 77 spot. And then Louisiana is laying 12 against UL Monroe. Those are your 3, 5, and 6 Sun Belt teams.
Yeah, I just wanted to say about that Arkansas State-Marshall game. Arkansas State had 3 defensive touchdowns and ran a kickback for a touchdown. So 4 of their touchdowns in that game coming on either defense or special teams. Now, that being said, they still scored 77 points. So obviously, offensively, they did pretty well. And Jalen Rayner has been really, really good. I'll be curious to see. He's a freshman. I'll be curious to see if Arkansas State is able to keep him with all the money that's floating around out there. I wish Marshall was playing better, man. They've dropped 6 of their last 7. They look terrible. And despite how bad they've looked here lately, they're still favored in this game over an Arkansas State team that's been playing really well here in the back half of the season. So maybe the line kind of tells a little bit of a story there, but man, I don't trust Marshall. As much as this is a bad spot for Arkansas State coming off of getting bowl eligible. Also, keep in mind, I mean, there are, what was it we said, off air before the show, 25 teams that have five wins, I believe. Something like that, 23 yeah. or 25.
I think it's 25.
So even having six wins, depending on how all of this falls this week, having six wins isn't a guarantee that you're going to get to a bowl game. I think it'll be good enough in almost all cases, but there's some incentive to get seven and try to remove all doubt. So that's something to keep in mind too. You know, these teams that went to 6-5 last week, not a guarantee that they'll go to a bowl game, and certainly you'd like to get the best bowl game that you can. So not a guarantee that these teams that got bowl eligible last week are going to have a letdown. Arkansas State's one where I could see it, but man, Marshall's playing bad.
Yeah, no doubt. I believe 12 of these teams, actually 13, if you include Navy, are underdogs. So about half of these teams are underdogs. So we'll need some small upsets there. I will have my official plays coming up on the live college football betting podcast. Wes Reynolds and myself, once again, 11 p.m. Eastern, 8 p.m. Pacific on Tuesday evening. And as Adam reminded you folks, it'll be playing all day on Thanksgiving. It'll be on YouTube as well and in this feed as well. So I'm all done, Adam. Anything else you want to add here to wrap up the pod?
I just want to drop in once again. I mean, that holiday special that's over at VSiN.com. You know, I mean, I'm the managing editor over there at the website. I know what we're doing on a daily basis. We've got a lot of good stuff. NBA from JVT and Zach Cohen, NHL from Johnny Lazarus. I'm doing daily college basketball picks. We'll have every bowl game previewed. And, you know, that $60 deal, as I mentioned, gets you through, you know, my MLB guide, the Super Bowl, March Madness, into the NBA and NHL playoffs as well. You get a lot of bang for your buck there. So I highly encourage you to check out the subscription offers that are available here during the holiday season over at vsin.com.
You keep saying holiday season. It just reminds me of a little Andy Williams. It's the holiday season. No?
Well, if VSiN doesn't work out for you, maybe you could be a crooner.
Maybe I will. You know, I've always thought about, warming up the pipes. But all right, we're talking about Christmas music. So I think that means we are all done here. Another podcast coming up in 24 hours in this feed. So very much looking forward to that. Hopefully we can wrap up the regular season on a high note. For Adam Burke at Skating Tripods on Twitter, I am at One Tim Murray. And please rate, review, and subscribe. We ain't done yet. Bowl season is always profitable and a great time to bet. So keep it locked and loaded. A breakdown of the Week 13 card coming up later this week. This has been the VSiN College Football Betting Podcast.